A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's prompt this week is about a survival technique that lives in the shadow of a more famous one, grey rocking, making yourself as dull as a stone, so a narcissistic person loses interest, gets all the coverage. But Daniel wants to talk about the thing next to it, actively censoring what you disclose, so there's nothing to weaponize. He calls it light grey rocking, and he thinks it doesn't have a name. He's wrong about the name. But he's right that it deserves more attention. His questions: what's grey rocking really? Why is it an imperfect survival strategy rather than a way to live? What's this information minimizing thing? How does it differ? Why does it supposedly lack a clean name? How does censoring personal details actually protect you? And why is the instinct so unnatural and probably unhealthy to maintain? Plus, how to use it when you have to.
Before we can talk about the unnamed technique, we have to understand the named one it lives inside. Grey rocking is making yourself as uninteresting and unengaged as possible so the other person loses interest. That's the Medical News Today definition, and it's the cleanest one I've seen. The term traces back to a 2012 mental health blog about escaping a narcissist. It isn't a clinical term. No diagnostic manual recognizes it. It's folk psychology that got adopted by support communities and then mainstream explainer articles.
And the mechanism is straight behaviorism, reinforcement, and extinction. Abusive people enjoy getting a reaction. That's the reward. Withdraw the reward and the behavior should eventually decrease, or at least de-escalate in the moment.
The Narcissism Institute frames it neurologically. Narcissist reward centers light up when they get attention, positive or negative. It doesn't matter if you're crying or screaming or flattering them. Attention is attention. Grey rot puts those reward centers on a starvation diet.
Which sounds clean until you remember that starving something makes it desperate.
That's the part everyone glosses over. There are zero published studies evaluating whether grey rocking works. Zero. The Conversation ran a piece in May by two psychology professors from Australian Catholic University, and they had to say it plainly, no direct scientific research. Medical News Today updated their explainer last year and said the same thing. This is a technique with enormous cultural reach and no evidence base. We're working entirely from community reports and behavioral theory.
And the behavioral theory actually predicts the biggest problem, extinction bursts.
Right. When you first introduce extinction, you stop rewarding a behavior. The behavior often increases before it decreases. The person escalates. They push harder. They try new provocations. The Conversation warns you have to grey rot through the escalation consistently, because if you break and give them the reaction they want, you've just taught them that escalation works. You've reinforced the escalation. The Narcissism Institute calls this the most dangerous time.
There's a thread on the Raised by Narcissists subreddit from August 1st. Someone using the info diet on their mother. The mother became furious, called them disrespectful, yelled, "That's the extinction burst in real time." The person had stopped providing the emotional supply, and the mother's response was to escalate to try to force it back.
That poster is going to be our case study for the whole episode, because they were doing the info diet, not pure grey rocking. But the escalation is the same. And here's the thing about that escalation, it's not just unpleasant. Medical News Today lists escalation, possibly to physical violence, as a known risk. Fatigue, frustration, mental health impact from constant emotional hiding. The technique can increase risk before it reduces it.
Which is a strange thing to recommend casually. And it does get recommended casually. Just grey rock them, like it's a setting you toggle.
Because people don't explain the cost. Grey rocking is expressive suppression. That's the psychological term for what you're doing. You're suppressing the outward expression of an emotion you're still feeling inside. Gross and John published the foundational work on this in 2003. Expressive suppression is cognitively demanding. It uses a lot of brain power and can inhibit other cognitive processes like memory and decision making. You're spending your mental budget on not reacting, which means you have less left for everything else.
So you're slower, foggier, worse at your job, worse at remembering things, all because you're in a room with someone, and you're trying not to let them see you feel anything.
And the well-being cost is measurable. Habitual suppression is associated with greater negative emotions and more negative well-being. That's Gross and John 2003, and it's been replicated. There's a 2024 study in BMC Psychology, Domic Syed and colleagues looking at attachment style and suppression, same pattern. The more you suppress, the worse you feel over time.
So gray rocking is a survival strategy that makes you miserable while you use it, has no evidence it works, and can trigger escalation. But the alternative is getting pulled into the toxicity.
That's the bind. The conversation said it directly, staying neutral and emotionally flat in the face of repeated provocation is really hard to sustain over time. And it won't change the person or the underlying causes of their behavior. It's not a cure. It's not even a treatment. It's a holding pattern.
The Narcissism Institute has a client quote that gets this. I became like elevator music, present but forgettable. That's the goal. And another one. It was like I was his personal emotional restaurant, and he kept coming back for more courses. The day I stopped serving, he finally lost interest.
The restaurant one is good because it names exactly what the narcissist is doing. They're dining on your reactions. Gray rocking closes the kitchen.
But you still have to stand there while they bang on the table.
Which is why the Narcissism Institute built the Stone Framework. Simple responses, tone neutral, offer minimal information, no emotional reactions, exit when possible.
Wait, offer minimal information. That's in the Gray Rocking acronym?
Yes, it's already there. The O in Stone is offer minimal information, which means the technique Daniel thinks is unnamed and separate has been smuggled inside Gray Rocking's own mnemonic this whole time.
So that's the bridge. Gray rocking controls how you seem. The info diet controls what you reveal. And the acronym people use to remember gray rocking already includes the info diet as one of its letters.
Which is exactly where this gets interesting, because Daniel's premise is half right. He says the information minimization technique doesn't have a clean or distinctive name. It does. The community calls it the info diet, or information diet. The Narcissism Institute lists it as an advanced gray rock technique. The Raised by Narcissists subreddit has a dedicated thread called Info Diet Method. It's named.
But the name is buried.
That's the real finding. The info diet is named, but it's treated as a sub-tactic of gray rocking rather than a peer technique. It lives inside gray rocking discourse. If you search for it, you find it. But nobody writes standalone explainers about the info diet the way they write about gray rocking. Daniel didn't know the name, and he's clearly read about this stuff. That tells you how buried it is.
So what's it exactly? If gray rocking is affect control, the info diet is content control. You're not trying to seem boring. You're trying to reveal nothing usable.
And you can do one without the other. That's the distinction that matters. A warm, chatty person can run a strict info diet. They can be friendly, engaged, even emotionally available, and still disclose nothing that could be weaponized. On the flip side, a flat, boring person can still leak damaging facts. You could be a gray rock who answers every question honestly and pays for it later.
The Narcissism Institute's framing is blunt. Narcissists weaponize personal information. The less they know about your life, the less ammunition they have.
That's the whole rationale in one sentence. It's not about being boring, it's about being empty. No handles to grab, no details to twist, no vulnerabilities to exploit.
What does that look like in practice?
Generic updates. Work was fine. The kids are good. Nothing specific enough to be used. Redirecting to mundane topics. If they ask about your finances, you talk about the weather. The broken record technique. You repeat the same neutral phrase until they stop asking. And some people share false or misleading information about their emotional state. Tell the person you're fine when you're not, because the truth would be ammunition.
The false information one is interesting. That's not just withholding. That's active deception.
And it has a cost. Lying to someone about how you feel is still suppression, just with extra steps. But in a high-conflict relationship, the truth is a liability, so people lie.
The August 1st poster, the one whose mother got furious, said something that gets at why this is so hard. I find it so hard not to tell my mom what's going on because I'm so used to telling her details about my life. It's not only hard, but painful.
That's the unnatural part Daniel's asking about. Self-disclosure is a default human bonding instinct. We tell people things because that's how intimacy works. Withholding from someone you're used to confiding in feels wrong. It feels like a violation of the relationship, even when the relationship is the thing hurting you.
And the commenters on that thread understood exactly what was happening. One said, "You've cut off her supply of information. It's like cutting off drugs to an addict." Another one, "The goal was to prevent her from having the information necessary to hurt you, not to make her happy."
That second one is important. The goal isn't to make the other person happy. It's not to fix the relationship. It's to protect yourself. That's a hard reframe for people who spent years managing the other person's emotions.
There's a variant called Yellow Rock, being slightly more exciting than completely neutral. You give fake emotion, fake opinions, but only about things that don't matter. One commenter described it as emotion that doesn't hurt when she inevitably tries to shit on it.
Yellow Rock is basically the info diet applied to feelings. You're performing engagement without revealing anything real. It's the customer service voice, but for your family.
Which sounds exhausting.
It is. And here's the part nobody in the abuse recovery space likes to sit with. Both of these techniques have a numbing risk. The Narcissism Institute warns about emotional numbing. One risk of prolonged Gray Rock implementation is becoming emotionally disconnected in all relationships, not just with the narcissist, with everyone. You train yourself not to react, not to disclose, not to feel outwardly, and eventually the inward feeling goes quiet too.
So you protect yourself from one person and lose your capacity for intimacy with everyone else.
That's the worst case. And the Narcissism Institute actually advises consciously reconnecting with your emotions after narcissistic encounters, like stretching after a workout. You have to remind yourself that you're allowed to feel things with safe people.
Which brings us to the safety caveat. Both The Conversation and Medical News Today warn that escalation during early gray rocking or info dieting can turn dangerous. This isn't just unpleasant. It can get physical.
And that's why the technique alone isn't enough. Safety planning matters more than technique. If you're in a situation where withdrawal of information or emotion could trigger violence, the answer isn't better gray rocking. The answer is an exit strategy, a support network, and in serious cases, professional help.
So where does that leave us? Gray rocking is an imperfect survival strategy with zero evidence, real cognitive costs, and a risk of escalation. The info diet is its lesser-known sibling, named but buried, which controls content instead of affect. Both are unnatural, both are costly, and both are sometimes the best option available.
And that last part is the uncomfortable truth. Sometimes the best option is still bad. People in these situations don't have good choices. They have less bad ones.
Daniel's instinct that this isn't healthy to maintain. He's right. The evidence supports him. But the technique exists because sometimes you need it. The question is how to use it without becoming it.
I keep thinking about the extinction burst. The person escalates. You hold. They escalate more. You hold. And the whole time you're burning cognitive resources, feeling worse, and wondering if you're making it better or worse. And the honest answer is, we don't know. There's no study that says. The entire edifice is built on behavioral theory and community wisdom.
Community wisdom is real wisdom. These people have lived it. But it's not the same as evidence.
No, it's not. And the gap matters because people make life decisions based on this advice. They stay in relationships longer because they think gray rocking will fix it. They gray rock through abuse that they should be leaving.
The technique can become a reason to delay the exit.
If gray rocking is your plan, you need a second plan for when gray rocking stops working.
I was the narcissist in the headset.
Say more.
Late 90s. 2 years at a regional long-distance carrier. Phone retention. My job was to keep people from canceling. The training was explicit. Never ask a direct question. Ask three indirect ones and let them volunteer the fourth. You get them talking about their week, their kids, their job, and somewhere in there they'd tell you the thing that mattered. A sick parent, a kid's college fund, a looming layoff, and then you'd use it.
Use it how?
Construct a reason to stay. You'd say, well, you wouldn't want to deal with switching providers right now, not with everything else going on. Or, this plan is really the best value for a family in your situation. You'd take the thing they told you and hand it back to them as a reason not to leave. It worked. It worked a lot.
You were the extractor.
I was the extractor, and I was good at it. Not proud of being good at it, but I was. The info diet is just the same skill pointed the other way. The person on the other end of the line is doing what I did, asking indirect questions, letting you volunteer the fourth thing. And the info diet is you noticing and not volunteering.
That's the part the abuse recovery framing doesn't say. The other person isn't just passively receiving your information. They're actively extracting it.
They're running the same play. The questions sound friendly. They're not. They're ladder rungs. We had a laminated card. The four-question ladder. First question, something neutral about their day. Second, follow up on whatever they said. Third, ask about a specific detail they mentioned. Fourth, they'd usually tell you the real thing on their own. You just had to be quiet long enough.
And the fourth thing was the ammunition.
The fourth thing was the sale. One call I still think about. Woman called to cancel. Her husband had just died. She said it in passing, trying to explain why she was calling. And I used it. Told her she wouldn't want to deal with this again, not so soon after everything. Sold her a 2-year contract. She said thank you. I quit 3 weeks later. Never told anyone why.
You kept the card.
Still in a box somewhere. Four questions, laminated, from a training session in 1998. I don't know why I kept it. Souvenir or confession, couldn't tell you.
The info diet is the answer to the four-question ladder. You hear the first question, you give a generic answer, and you don't climb.
That's the thing. The info diet works. But it works because the other person is doing what I did, and nobody in the recovery space wants to say that out loud. They want to talk about narcissists and supplying gray rocks. They don't want to talk about the fact that the narcissist is running a retention script.
Because that makes it sound calculated, cold, and people want to believe the abuse is emotional, reactive, not strategic.
It's both. The strategy is the latter. The emotion is what they do with the fourth rung. I never yelled at anyone. I just used what they gave me. The yelling came from people who cared about them. I was the one who made the yelling possible.
So the info diet isn't just self-protection. It's counterintelligence.
It's counterintelligence. And it's exhausting because you're running a script too. The difference is, my script had a laminated card. Theirs doesn't.
The card is the thing. You had a physical artifact that made the extraction explicit. The people on the other end don't have that. They're improvising. And the info diet is improvising the defense.
The defense is harder than the offense. I had a script and a quota. The person on the other end had neither. They were just trying to get through a phone call.
And you were the reason they needed a technique in the first place.
I was one of them. There were thousands of us. The whole industry ran on the four-question ladder. The info diet is the customer's answer to an industry that trained people to extract.
That reframes the whole thing. The info diet isn't just for narcissists. It's for anyone who's been trained by an institution to treat you as a resource.
The skills are the same. The person who wants your emotional reaction and the person who wants your renewal are running the same play. The info diet works on both.
The technique is broader than the abuse recovery framing suggests.
Much broader. But the abuse recovery people named it, so they get to define it. That's fine. The name works. Info diet. You stop feeding them.
The extinction burst applies to retention calls, too. You stop giving information. The person on the other end escalates. They push. They get frustrated. They threaten. Same pattern.
We were trained to push through the silence. If someone went quiet, you waited. The quiet was the tell. It meant they were thinking about the fourth thing. You just had to be patient.
The silence that's supposed to protect you is also a signal to the extractor.
Everything is a signal. That's the whole problem. The info diet works, but it's not invisible. The person on the other end knows you're withholding. That's what triggers the escalation. You can't win. You can only manage the loss.
That's the most honest thing anyone said about this technique.
I sold phone contracts for 2 years. The people who managed the loss best were the ones who gave me nothing and didn't care if I knew it. They weren't gray rocks, they were walls. Flat, boring, no handles. And I still got some of them, because the ladder works on everyone eventually.
The card is still in a box.
Laminated. 1998. 4 questions. I could read them to you right now, but I won't. Some things should stay in the box.
The question Daniel asked that we haven't fully answered is how to use the info diet when required without losing yourself in it. And I think the answer is, you use it like a tool, not a lifestyle. You deploy it in specific contexts with specific people, and you consciously put it down when you're with safe people.
The numbing risk is real, but it's not inevitable. The Narcissism Institute's advice to consciously reconnect with your emotions after narcissistic encounters. That's the maintenance step. You don't just stop gray rocking. you actively re-engage with feeling.
You need a safety plan that isn't just the technique. If escalation is possible, the info diet alone isn't enough. You need an exit, a support network, and in some cases, professional help.
The open question this leaves me with is about the naming paradox. The info diet is named, but only inside Grey Rocking Discourse. What else is treated as a sub-tactic when it deserves to stand alone? What other survival skills are buried inside bigger, more famous techniques?
The bigger question, if both of these techniques are understudied, community-named, and costly to sustain, what does it mean that they're the best tools available to people in these situations? That's not a comfortable answer. It means the people who need help most are relying on folk psychology because the clinical world hasn't caught up.
The extinction burst is the safety issue. No technique substitutes for safety planning. That's the thing I'd want anyone listening to take seriously.
Thanks to Hilbert Flumingtop for producing, as always.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Email us at show@myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.